Hello everyone, Dr. Bob with Catalyst Chiropractic and Rehab, and we are here today to talk about simple things that you can do in order to stay healthy. So around this time, people are all different fights about immunity, how to stay healthy, how not to stay healthy. And the good news is there's a lot of information out there. The bad news is there's a lot of information out there, and it's hard to sort through all of it and figure out what's true, what isn't, you know, how to read a research study. We're all aware that you can manipulate statistics to say pretty much anything you want, which is really frustrating when you're just someone who's trying to find some good, honest information to make your best health and wellness decisions for that. So today we're going to tackle supplements, and we're talking about the basic supplements that people would require from an overall health standpoint. Now, there are always going to be exceptions. But we're going to be looking at the things that 95% of the time are going to cover your bases for it. If you are, you know, into extreme fitness, some other different things, there may be some additional things you would want to look at with it. But right now we're going to be talking about the general population, 95% of the that's going to cover 95% of us for our maintenance wellness needs from a supplementation standpoint. So a lot of the information that we get from a lot of great place for good research and understanding the research in terms that are easy to understand. We get a lot of our info from innatechoice.com. Dr. Chestnut and his team do an amazing job of finding the research and then making it in a palatable form so you can understand what's going on with it. And they do a great job with that. That is one of the companies we utilize for our supplements as well. So definitely encourage you to check them out over there. But the big four that we're looking at, first of all, we're looking at your omega-3 fish oil. So your omega-3 fatty acids, there's a lot of different stuff. So people think an omega-3 is an omega-3. The fact of the matter is there's small short-chain omega-3s that come from plants. There's large-chain omega-3s that typically come from animal-type sources. And our body is really slow at taking the little chains and hooking them together and making big chains, which is why it is essential that you supplement with the large chains. The EPA, the DHA are extremely important to make sure you're supplementing directly with, because your body's ability to take ALA and some of these other smaller chain fatty acids and hook them together into the big ones is too slow, and it can't keep up with the demand for your overall health and well-being. So it's really important to make sure you are supplementing with an actual fish oil. You want to make sure you're looking at a quality fish oil, because fish oil is a very sensitive and delicate molecule with the omega-3s. And you hear the people all the time like, oh, I tried fish oil and I got rotten fish burps. Well, the only reason you got rotten fish burps is because the fish oil you consumed was already rotten or degenerated. There's some research a while back showing about 80% of the fish oils on the big box shelves are actually rancid by the time people are buying them, which is why it would give you rotten fish burps. If you're taking a quality omega-3 fish oil, it's not going to give you rotten fish burps, because it is a healthy, well-maintained product. They use different things like rosemary and a couple other things they can use to help stabilize that chemical molecule. So it's important to make sure that you are buying a good brand, and I sounds biased, but I do recommend getting a provider brand, one that you need to get through a provider, mainly because those are typically the ones that you have more control over the shipping and the storage and all those types of things, as opposed to the big box shelves that come out through, sit on a ship right across the desert, bounce through, you know, rough truck ride. All those things are very hard on the omega-3 molecule itself. Now, the reason you want to make sure you're taking an omega-3 supplement is because basically every cell in your body has a membrane around it, and that membrane needs the appropriate amount of omega-3 to omega-6 fatty acids. The ratio is supposed to be anywhere from 1 to 3 omega-3s to 1 omega-3 to every 1 to 3 omega-6 fatty acids in a healthy diet. The average American diet currently has 1 omega-3 to every 17 omega-6s, which leads to inflammation, and inflammation can come up in a lot of different ways. It will affect, you know, it can affect joint pain, it can affect arteriosclerosis, a lot of different diseases, issues people deal with are a result of excessive inflammation in the body. So by providing yourself enough omega-3 fish oil, especially the DPA and the EHA, or EPA, excuse me, will help you maintain that 1-to-1 or 1-to-3 balance so your body can function properly. So it's super important to make sure you're doing that. The other big thing you want to look at when you're looking at your fish oil supplement is it is important to look at the back of the label. For example, there are some big box ones on the front of the label. It says 1,000 milligrams of fish oil, and you need 2,000 roughly a day for an adult. But on the back of it, if you look at it, it only has 300 of the EPA DHA. So the one capsule they claim is a serving, you actually have to take 7 or 8 of those capsules to get a therapeutic dose. And dosing is important because just like with a medication or anything else, if you don't take enough of it, you're not going to get the desired effect. So when you're taking that, it's important to look at the back and look at the actual EPA DHA content and make your math off of that. Okay, so that's important with that. The next one you want to look at is your vitamin D3. So most supplements now are D3, which is the active form of vitamin D. I won't bore you with the whole science of the vitamin 2 and then the sun exposure converting it into vitamin D3. But the vitamin D3 is the factor that your body needs, and it is the one most people north of, you know, the further you get away from the equator, the more likely you are to have vitamin D deficiency. Now the 400 IUs of vitamin D they recommend a day through the RDA, that is enough to prevent rickets or your bones from getting soft, but it is not enough in order for your body to function at its best. They've been finding more and more things related to vitamin D deficiency, things affecting cognitive disorders, looking at muscle pain, inflammation, immunity. The list is, I don't want to say endless, but there are a lot of different things that keep finding that vitamin D plays a crucial role in. What you want to look at with your vitamin D is, what is your vitamin D level? If it is less than 50 milligrams per deciliter, which is what I believe they typically measure it in, you would want to then supplement 1,000 IUs of vitamin D for every 25 pounds of body weight. Okay, so you just take your weight divided by 25 and then times that by 1,000. That's how many IUs you should be taking if you are below 50. Below 50 puts you at what's called substrate starvation, which is the fancy way of saying that your body does not have enough vitamin D just to do its basic functions, let alone all the other awesome effects of vitamin D. Now, if you are currently above 50 milligrams per deciliter, you can drop that down to 1,000 IUs for every 40 pounds of body weight. Again, you do the same math, divide your weight by 40, times it by 1,000. And when you're going to see a number, it's going to be 4,000, 5,000, 10,000, kind of depending on where you're at, what your weight is, things like that. Don't let that freak you out. An IU is called an international unit, and it's a made-up measurement in order to measure vitamins. They had to have something to do it with, so don't let the big 1,000 number frighten you with it. If you do have any kind of kidney issues or things like that, certainly touch base with a healthcare provider in person with that, but that's going to be your baseline recommendations for your vitamin D. Also, a lot of people are like, oh, I don't need vitamin D because I get sunlight. Now that's true, like I live here in Minnesota, that's true June, July, and August. If you don't use sunscreen and you get at least 30 minutes of full body sun exposure every day, your body will make vitamin D. But outside of June, July, and August, where, like I said, where I am in Minnesota, your body will not make it because of the angle of the sun. If you can't get a sunburn, you can't make vitamin D, because that's part of the conversion process, is your body reacting to that UV light and the strength of the sun. So it's important to make sure you keep that in mind, and that you are getting the appropriate amounts of vitamin D, and then monitor your vitamin D level on your regular checkups and things like that. The next couple supplements are things that are going to be, they're going to help bridge the gap. So the next one we'll talk about is a quality probiotic and a non-dairy-based probiotic. And what I mean by that is a lot of probiotics out there on the general store shelves are dairy-based. And if you're a cow, that's amazing. Since you're listening to this podcast or watching this video, you're most likely not a cow. And it's important to make sure that you are getting a probiotic count and spectrum that is for a human gut and intestine, not for a cow. So a lot of times they'll sell you one, like Acidophilus is one of the more popular probiotics, but they're actually 9 to 13 different bacteria in your intestine. There's supposed to be a certain ratio of those bacteria to perform a healthy gut. And if you only take one, you can get overgrowth, things like that, that can affect your digestion, bloating, a lot of different issues with that. So it's important to make sure that you are getting a quality non-dairy-based probiotic. Your probiotic should also typically have to be refrigerated. If it isn't having to be refrigerated, it's meaning that they're most likely using some sort of chemical agent to stabilize it, because a probiotic is a live bacteria, and those bacteria grow faster in warm weather than they do in the refrigerator. So it's important to make sure you're getting a quality one of those. You're looking for anywhere from 15 to 30 billion cultures per day when you're looking at dosing for appropriate probiotic. If you are having some issues or new to probiotic, it is important to understand when you first start taking it, the first week or so, you may have what's called a die-off. If you have a lot of bad or not appropriate bacteria in your intestine or gut lining, when you start taking a probiotic, the good ones are going to win. The ones that don't belong there are going to lose through competitive inhibition. And then they have one way out. So sometimes people will get some loose stools or things like that initially with the probiotic, but it will that should subside as your body regulates and normalizes the bacteria in the intestines as well. The last one we're going to talk about is probably the most, disputed, I don't want to say controversial, but just a lot of misinformation about it. So we're talking about a multivitamin. So with a multivitamin, you want to make sure you're getting one that is a whole food, non-synthetic multivitamin is the most important part of it. So it will say non-synthetic if it is non-synthetic. If it doesn't say non-synthetic, most likely it is synthetic. Now, the big issue about that between naturally occurring and synthetic is there was some research a while back where they're looking at supplementing vitamin A and E in smokers to prevent lung cancer type things or decrease the risk of lung cancer. And they gave one group naturally occurring A and E, they give another group synthetic vitamin A and E. And what they found is they had to stop the study because it was unethical to continue to give the synthetic group the synthetic vitamins because of the increased risk of cancer they were seeing or occurrence of cancer they were seeing in those patients. So they actually stopped the research and the study. So it's super important to make sure that you are getting the actual natural occurring vitamins as opposed to man-made synthetically produced vitamins with that. Another easy way to think about that is we think of vitamin C, for example. We call it ascorbic acid, right? That's vitamin C, and that's what you get with a big vitamin C supplement. But if you eat a lime, an orange, a lemon, a mango, something like that, you're not only getting ascorbic acid, you are getting, 60, maybe even more micronutrients and other different phytochemicals and things that come in that. So it's really important to make sure that you are, consuming a whole food diet as well, not just supplementing your way out of it. Okay. So those are the basics of supplements and the recommendation with that. Like I said, we typically recommend the Innate Choice brand at our office. That's what I use. My family uses things like that. So it's important, and they have a lot of research. You can check that out as well. Now, some of the misinformation we hear from people are things like, oh, I don't need a fish oil because I eat a lot of fish. Well, you have to consume about a half pound of wild-caught salmon every day in order to get a therapeutic dose of omega-3s. And that, quite frankly, is expensive. Also, because of some of the pollutants and things like that, consuming that much wild fish because of the lead mercury content in them, just because of what's happening environmentally in general, is high. So then you're going to expose yourself to other potential issue, heavy metal toxicity, things like that. So it is a little bit easier to supplement it than it is, and cheaper to supplement it than it is to try to consume, a half pound of fresh salmon every single day, right? I also hear things like, oh, I don't need a multivitamin because I eat my fruits and vegetables. Now, that one could be true if you consume 10 to 15 servings of fruits and vegetables every single day, a variety of colors, a variety of plates, things like that. If you do that every day, you probably don't need a multivitamin. That is true. But if you're like most humans, especially industrialized humans like us over here in America, you don't do that. You don't come anywhere near that. So don't fool yourself. Give your body what it needs and make sure you're getting things taken care of, and then gradually add those things into your diet as you go with it. The vitamin D, we talked about sun exposure. Depending where you are on the planet, that can be more or less true. The closer to the equator, the longer and more often you can make vitamin D. The further you get from the equator, the harder and less time you can make vitamin D. naturally occurring with it, so it's important to make sure that you are supplementing those. And then the probiotic. Now, back in cave person days and things like that, they ate a lot of fermented foods, that we weren't hand sanitizing everything, all this other stuff with it. So with making the world more sanitized, we get less exposure to probiotic and things like that, which is why it's important to make sure that you are indeed supplementing that probiotic to make sure you're getting that. Now, if you eat a lot of like kimchi, sauerkraut, kombucha, a lot of these, fermented style foods, you may be getting some additional probiotic, which is awesome. The one big myth that's going to be important to dispel is the whole yogurt. I eat yogurt, so I don't need probiotic. In order to get a therapeutic dose of probiotic, you would need to consume almost a gallon of yogurt every single day. Now, I can't even fathom eating that much yogurt once, let alone every single day, and the digestive issues of consuming that much dairy and sugar and everything else that gets added to that yogurt would far outweigh using that as the way to get your probiotic. So really important to make sure you're using other fermented foods that are higher probiotic content, or making sure that you're supplementing it as well. So that is our supplement basics. That's going to cover 95% of the things that you need with it. We can do some additional videos on maybe some sports supplementation, different things like that. The other 5%, maybe things where you're going to need to talk to an educated healthcare provider that knows what they're talking about as far as nutrition and supplements, things like that, if that's the direction that you're looking at going with those as well. So this is Dr. Bob with Catalyst Chiropractic and Rehab. You guys have a fantastic day, and stay tuned for our next video and podcast.